Truth Not Trends.
Oh, it's gotta be bigger than that, man. We're not Truth Not Trends, we're Truth Not Trends.
Boom, baby!
This is Jesse Schmidt and Liam Bauer coming to you from the Truth Not Trends podcast, where we teach you how to maximize your strength as safely and efficiently as possible.
Changing the world one set at a time. Come over and see us at truthnottrends.com.
That's right. Podcast, blog, online training, you name it. We'll teach you how to get amazing results in the gym or at home in minimal amount of time. Head on over and subscribe to the Truth Not Trends podcast. A lot of good stuff.
Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrono Impaired, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using Rachel McAdams' mole as our constant.
Wow.
Oh, wait, I said that wrong. I knew if I didn't have it in front of me. All right. Oh, there. I did screw it up. Using pop culture as Rachel McAdams' mole, we will be your constant. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari. Wait, I'm confused. Oh, yeah. Wait, no. This is
Time Bop.
We didn't do that one so well.
All right. Tell me what you're confused about, Ari.
Wait, you said that you said chrono impaired.
Yes.
And then you said pop culture is Rachel McAdams' mole.
Well, that's how I normally say it, using pop culture as our, then I say something hilarious. And then...
So hilarious.
I know. But yeah, I'm glad I screwed that up because I feel like the person who wrote this, who I have written down here somewhere...
Wrote the book or wrote the movie?
The movie. I forgot to write down actually the book writer's name, which is I'll look that up in a minute. And actually, it's the book writer's name. I shouldn't say, yeah. Whoever wrote this book, I feel like they watched Lost. And they fell in love with the idea of a constant and
the TV show Lost.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least I haven't heard outside of Lost the idea of a constant. I mean, the idea has probably been thrown around a little bit in some other movies, but I don't think it's been referred to as that. And in Lost, your constant, your person that your counterpart is what keeps you grounded during time travel. Like if you can find that other half of your soul, you know, you'll be okay. But if you start traveling through time and you lose contact with your constant, then your brain really starts to fry and come unraveled.
Okay. I have not seen that show, so I don't know what you're talking about. But for those listeners out there, the movie we watched was...
The Time Traveler's Wife.
There you go. There you go. Let them know what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And if this movie was named anything else, I would have hated it.
Really?
Yes.
If it was called The Unknown.
Or The Love of a Time Traveler. Like, because it's kind of strange because you're following the time traveler, but that's not really where the burden ends up being laid at the end of the day in this movie.
What if it was called A Time Travel Love Story?
See, even that, I think I would still want more of the time traveler. I think I would still be more like, we know he's in love with her, but what about when he time travels?
Yeah.
Like, what about all the times when he time travels and doesn't go to her?
Yeah. Okay.
You know.
Was this the first time you've seen this movie?
Yes.
Okay. So what'd you think? Did you love it? Did you cry?
I so close.
To crying or loving it?
To crying.
Oh, Desmond.
Like, if I had been, I think if I had just been watching this movie, I would have cried. But taking...
You were doing seven other things at the same time, weren't you?
Yeah, I had my laptop open, checking Wikipedia, seeing who wrote it. I was taking other notes. I was just very focused on, like, what's going to happen now. Like, I was so sure he was going to disappear before he hugged her at the end.
Aw.
That's where I almost teared up. And then I think I was so happy when they actually got to hug that I was like, ah. Oh.
Yeah.
This movie, like we found out doing this podcast, Love and Gravity.
Yeah.
That's what time travel's all about.
That's what the universe is all about. Love and gravity, you guys. Yes. It's all about love and gravity.
Ah. So what's really... We don't know where gravity comes from, so it must come from our hearts.
Love.
Yes.
Oh. Did you say hearts?
Yeah. Well, that's where love comes from.
Your heart.
Well, I know Scotty's love comes from his butt, but...
his love of butts? Is that what you mean?
No, love from butts.
Oh, he farts out love.
Yeah. And because of that, that's why he loves butts, because that's where he thinks love is held.
He can actually hear this and he's ignoring you right now.
Good.
He gives you a thumbs up.
Yeah. Thumb up my butt.
Oh my gosh. This is the best podcast ever. He says this is our best podcast ever. Anyways, well, moving this is, on.
Speaking of our best podcast ever, this is 40, maybe 39, something like that. And I'm glad we finally got to discuss my intro and talk about what a constant is. So that's good.
Oh, yeah.
So, welcome to the podcast, Ari.
Yay.
Time Traveler's Wife.
It's a tongue twister.
Released in 2009, PG-13, directed by Robert Schwanky, starring Eric Bana, the Hulkster himself, Rachel McAdams, Ron Livingston, and
some kids.
And Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah.
Back. We got I think this might be our third time around for Stephen Tobolowsky.
Really?
At least number two.
Hmm.
I know he's in Groundhog Day. Speaking of Groundhog's Day, I have what's the word I want to say? I have succumbed to this life that we're living. I feel like it's very Groundhog's Day-ish, you know?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Guess what my new ring is on my phone?
Something to do with Groundhog's Day.
Ned Brierson.
No.
Scott says Ned Brierson.
Here, I can't even remember right now. I'm just going to play it.
In the time of Corona, every day feels like Groundhog's Day. I got you, babe. Is that the song he hears when he wakes up?
Yep.
That's very, very appropriate.
Yes, it is. So that's my when my phone rings, I hear that. And when I get a text, I get the Back to the Future. Bring.
Awesome. You're such a nerd.
Nerd.
You're a nerd.
Ari.
Hi.
The fuck is this movie about? Is there a wife in this movie?
Yeah.
Is there a time traveler in this movie?
Yeah.
All right. We're done.
So wait a minute. You did or you did not like this movie?
I did like this movie.
Okay.
I did. As usual, the part of me that loves time travel because of sci-fi would have loved to, you know, dig more into the, yeah, I guess it's not really sci-fi. I mean, he's,
yeah,
you know, but, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, this guy's always time traveling. He can't control it. And he seems to have to beat or rob someone every time he lands.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an interesting and also crazy concept that, you know, this guy has a genetic condition, right? A genetic anomaly where he time travels and only he can time travel. His clothes can't go with him, which, you know, makes sense.
Yeah.
It really does. The author kind of chose correctly. If you have a genetic issue, your body goes, but your clothes don't go. So I kind of liked that.
Well, and I think it makes a much better story seeing him travel through time and be, you know, she never knows what age he's going to show up as.
Yeah.
But it could have, there's probably a a blueprint of her book where he just mind travels, kind of butterfly effecty.
You think?
I think so, because I think as far as just you coming unraveled from time, I think it almost makes more sense that your conscious would bounce around and not your actual physical body beaming through time.
Okay.
I think it's way cooler the way they did it, but
yeah.
Let's just pretend like there is a genetic anomaly that allows you to quote unquote travel through time. I think it's more that you come untethered, your consciousness comes untethered from time and not your physical body.
If this were remotely a possible thing, you mean?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
So if your consciousness comes untethered, but your body doesn't, what happens to your body in that moment when you come untethered?
I think you still, it's probably another version of yourself, because if your consciousness is untethered, that means in every moment of your life, it's untethered. So you probably swap.
So you're essentially describing butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except in this one too, because it does go around, like you could have, instead of always swapping, and I know we're already going way off the rails. I'm talking about a version of this movie that doesn't exist. Instead of just swapping, like let's say you all of a sudden, boom, we're in your 6-year-old body. And then that would mean that your six-year-old body mind was boom in your 35-year-old body. But then I think you could do like a triple swap where your 40-year-old went into a 25-year-old and your 25-year-old went into a 6-year-old and your 6-year-old went into the 40-year-old. And if your consciousness is just untethered and bouncing around.
So that is a concept or a story I don't think exists. So Desmond, I think you need to get writing.
TM.
That's your time travel idea right there.
We call it the double swap.
Working title. So let's not confuse our listeners. So, but in this movie, in The Time Traveler's Wife, there's a guy named Henry who has a genetic anomaly and he cannot control when he travels through time. And his entire life, he's been phasing in and out at different times of his lifetime. So he can only travel within his lifetime.
No.
What?
No.
No what?
He can travel outside of his lifetime.
I mean, he can't go past before he was born.
Oh, he can't go back.
Yeah.
Well, but we don't really know that for sure, considering that he can travel past his death.
Well, it's not that he traveled past his death. He traveled before he died.
No, no. Not the last scene of the movie. The last scene of the movie is 5 years after he died.
Yeah, but he traveled. He did that jump in his younger self before he died.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah.
So he had already died, but he had traveled before he died. Yes. And he traveled somewhere after he died. I see what you're talking about. Yeah. We're saying the same thing, but we got confused.
Yes.
Yes. So right. What I meant is he can't travel like 100 years into the future or 100 years into the past.
We don't see it.
But you think he could possibly do that?
I mean, doesn't he talk about seeing his mom and his dad before he was born?
No, the little girl did.
Oh, that's right. So it gets stronger. It's because she has abilities that he doesn't have. So
yes, when she was in the womb, she traveled and saw her parents, which doesn't make any sense because you have to travel in the body that you have. So she would have been a fetus seeing her parents. So that's a big hole. I just thought of that right now. Hello.
Well, again, because she has more abilities. You see her talking to herself also.
Yeah, she could control it. Okay, so hang on. We're getting off topic. So
we are so fucking on topic.
You're dropping a lot of F-bombs. I think quarantine is making you swear more.
I know. My Apocalypse Now is making me swear more. I used to be better when I just had one podcast. I knew I couldn't swear on it. And now I got all these explicit podcasts. And so the mic turns on and I just start letting it fly. Thank you, Ari. Thank you for keeping me tethered.
Got to keep this PG.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So
you keep talking. I got to go turn something off.
So this guy, Henry, cannot control his traveling. He just all of a sudden starts to phase out and disappear. And wherever he travels to, he doesn't know where he's going and he's naked. So that, you know, creates some interesting scenes where he appears somewhere butt naked in the middle of winter in Chicago. And the movie follows his timeline. No, the movie follows her timeline. No, it doesn't follow anyone's timeline, but essentially he's constantly drawn to this little girl who then turns into a woman, and they fall in love when she gets older. She comes across him, but wait, this is harder to do when you're not there, Desmond.
I'm coming. I'm sorry. This turned into a big fiasco.
I need your facial expressions to bounce out to make sure I'm doing this correctly. Come back.
I'm coming. I was just gonna
turn it off, and then I realized I might need to listen to something on it. So then I decided to fix it instead of just turn it off.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
I know. So it kind of bounces around where, like, you're following her, but then
you're following him.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's a love story. This man is drawn to this field that is behind the house of this little girl, and he meets her, and he's constantly visiting her, and they become friends. And then she's, you know, grows up being visited by this man and ends up loving him. And then when she finally meets him as an adult, it is before he had traveled back to see her as a kid. So he didn't know who she was when he first met her, the younger him. And, you know, it's their love story, and they fall in love and they get married. And it's kind of shows the what it would be like being in a relationship with someone who all of a sudden just disappears out of nowhere.
And I think he always knows who she is when he visits her at 6.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's always after he met her.
Right. Exactly. Yes, you're absolutely right. And I feel like they did a good job, or the, you know, this was based off of a book. I feel like it was well done as far as, you know, kind of making it braid in with itself, and her knowing some things that he didn't, and he knowing some things that she didn't for certain aspects. But one thing that I thought was interesting is in the beginning of the movie, you see a little boy driving in a car with his mom, and his mom is a singer, and they get into a car accident. But right before, you know, the major accident is when he phases or travels for the first time, and he travels back 2 weeks, but then he travels back to the incident of the car crash, and he's standing outside naked, and then his older self grabs him right before it happens, but before his mom gets killed, and is kind of like reassuring him. And it was just interesting that, like, it was convenient that he always is in the right place at the right time to help his younger self, to meet the girl. Obviously, it's a story, so that's got to happen.
Well, and they explain that by saying that he seems to be pulled like gravity towards important moments in his life.
Yeah. And then she said, I'm an important moment. And he's like, yes, you are.
And I just want to point out, I noticed this on the second watch. His mom, they're in a car crash, and while they're kind of spinning out of control, he disappears. And then his mom dies because she's staring at the empty back seat, wondering what's going on. Yeah, that's why the second truck hits her, is because she's paralyzed with what the heck.
Yeah.
So that's...
And it was also interesting that he said, I've seen her die hundreds of times. I've traveled back to that moment hundreds of times, and I've tried to prevent it hundreds of times, and I never can. You cannot change the past. So in this story, in this universe, for him, he can travel, but he cannot change the past.
And he doesn't even try. They explain it in the story with one sentence of, I've traveled back hundreds of times, I can't save her. And then that whole notion of changing the past is just dropped.
Yeah, because, well, he did try and he was unsuccessful.
We never see that. And
right,
yeah,
he just said it.
But yeah, for so the viewers.
I thought that was interesting. That was an interesting, you know, because most time travel stories are about going to the past and changing something. And this story doesn't do that. This is just a guy that can travel in and out. It's super random. It's a love story. It's what it's like being married to this person. And then towards the end of the movie, you start to see, like, she's trying to have a baby, but the baby has this genetic anomaly, and she's been having miscarriages because they think the baby is phasing in and out. And, you know, then you see like a glimpse of him, you know, being shot and potentially dying, and they don't know when that's going to happen. So there's, you know, other things towards the end of the movie that bring in more of the like traveling here and there and kind of being intertwined with each other.
Yeah, as he's pulled to important moments in his life, obviously his death is an important moment in his life. And so he, as he continues to time travel, he kind of hones in on that moment a little bit. And they never really, we don't know for sure that the babies are miscarrying because they're phasing out of existence.
Right.
They make an assumption, and you know, with, yeah, I that was one of the things where, I mean, for the story, I think it makes sense, but that's a hell of a conclusion to jump to.
That the baby is phasing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the womb, and you know, for him to just, I can see why he wouldn't want to pass this on, but that should have been covered way before he started trying to have a child.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good assumption to have. If she's miscarrying over and over again, of course, you know, he's going to think it's because of that, it's because of me, and it's putting her life, the mother's life, you know, at risk. So he does decide to get a vasectomy. And then, you know, one night, Rachel McAdams, I forget her name in the movie, of course, because I never can remember them. What's her? Claire. Her name is Claire.
Henry and Claire.
So Claire gets a call from a younger Henry who has just traveled to her time in that moment. And she goes and like rescues him from the cold. And then they end up getting it on in a car. And lo and behold, she's pregnant and the pregnancy sticks.
And that's the one that takes.
That's the one that takes. And, you know, I guess they could argue that her ability is different because she can control it. So maybe that's why she didn't phase in the womb, if that's what was happening.
Well, and Claire makes an assumption, too, that, you know, because these are triggered by major events, that them kind of at this point, they're kind of fighting a little bit because she's trying to get pregnant and have a baby. And she's got to deal with the fact that her husband just vanishes at any given time for any given amount of time. And so it's causing some stress in their life. And so she decides, let's just stop fighting about this. I married a time traveler.
Yeah.
And so they calmly go through the pregnancy, trying to not cause any quote unquote major moments that would cause a phasing.
Yeah. Stress. Yeah.
Because there seems to be. Yeah, I think it's funny that they mention that drinking may cause the phasing, because if major stressful events are what causes the phasing, I would have thought that it would go the other way, that he would become an alcoholic to try to control it or stop it, or at least keep it from happening as often.
Yeah, they mentioned that drinking could trigger it, and also TV screens could trigger it.
Is that because of the epilepsy?
Yeah, probably, because they were, you know, the scene where he had the winning lottery ticket and they went into that like TV shop to watch the results. She was like, don't look at the TVs. It could trigger, you know, an episode. She said it might. They don't know what it does.
Yeah. The first time I saw it, I was thinking that this was one of his, this was a moment when he was time traveling and she didn't want him to see information that could make something weird.
No, this is after he had been gone for like 2 weeks, she said, or something, maybe not, but he got a lottery ticket and they won the money and bought the house.
Because she's stressed out. She's trying to make a career. She's trying to have a baby. He's here and there and everywhere. And so he decides to get them some money to try to create at least that stability.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we've got a house, we've got a home. And then he keeps going in. It's a great scene. It's a great montage where they're house hunting and he keeps going in, looking out the window and saying nope. And you think he's being really selfish, you know, looking for, like, for a minute, I thought he was like, he didn't want to be up too high because he wanted to make sure when he phased back in, he would be at the ground floor and wouldn't have to like shimmy up some back staircases and stuff. But then he finally says, this is the one. And she's like, why? And she's like, he's like, because that's your studio right there.
Yeah, I got the sense that he saw it. He traveled and saw it, and this was the one.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot too. Yeah, he was looking for something that he had seen in a jump to know that it's the one. But yeah, that was a good scene because, yeah, it seems like he's being selfish, but he's looking for just the right place for them and her.
Yeah. One line that I really liked from this movie was, I think they were arguing about having a baby and the vasectomy and things like that. And, you know, he's like, you don't have to be with me. You know, you have a choice. And she just looks at him and she's like, I don't have a choice. I never had a choice. You know, this was a man that she met at 6 years old and spent time with. And, you know, this mysterious, good looking man growing up as she said, her best friend, and, you know, being drawn to him and then meeting him again. And it's interesting. Like, she kind of didn't have a choice. She fell in love with this person at such a young age. She probably was not with any other man her entire life, just because it's such a unique situation. If you met somebody who disappeared for no reason, you know, and knew everything about you and what was going to happen in the future. And, you know, she had no choice. She really didn't.
Yeah, that was a good scene. And then, yeah, and they kind of, another thing that they throw in there just so they can connect a few dots quickly is when he's talking to her father, he says, before they're about to get married, he's just like, are you ready for this? And he says, you know, we have to, as her parents, I have to take some responsibility for not preparing her for the real world. So she was definitely a little sheltered.
Yeah.
And, you know, she spent a lot of time in this meadow anyways. And so she was ripe for this, you know, almost imaginary friend.
Yeah.
That then materializes a real person to really, you know, take her by storm.
Yeah. And then in the very end, it's, I don't know if irony is the right word, but her father on a hunting trip in the same spot that he always would phase to see her in that meadow as a child, her father shoots him.
Yeah.
In that same exact spot. So he always would phase in kind of behind the bushes in the trees on the edge of this meadow. And, you know, that's where Claire as a little girl would leave clothes for him. And, you know, the first time he kind of came out in a blanket because he's naked. And in that very spot was where her father, who loves hunting, shoots him. Yeah.
Yeah. God, that's so crazy. Like, I'd almost forgotten that. I was in my mind, I was like, how does it end? How does he get shot? How does he get hurt? And yeah, the full circle of her father doing it. And he knows it's going to happen. They're having a holiday party and he starts to kind of put it together. And he's like, oh, shoot, I've seen these fireworks before. I phased in when I've seen these fireworks. And then I went to the window and I saw myself bloody.
Crying, yeah.
And so he's starting to kind of figure out that tonight's the night. So he talks to his best friend and he talks to Claire. And, you know, they've had a lot of time to make peace with this moment. I mean, not to mention that his daughter basically told him.
Yeah.
When he was going to die that.
Well, the like 4-year-old, almost 5-year-old daughter got a visit from an older her. And the older one said, you know, like preparing her, saying that when you're 5, he's going to die.
And wasn't it even before that he hung out with 10-year-old Alba? Or was it right?
And she told him that? Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
She told him that he was going to die at 5.
Yeah. She says, you died when I was 5. I'm trying to think if we're leaving. We kind of took a jump there in the plot. I know we got all the major pieces out. He runs into a doctor at some point and, you know, he knows because of all of his time travel, by the time he gets to this doctor, he knows what he's supposed to do and what he can do. And so it's easy to convince him to, you know, run some tests and you know, on cue, he time travels when he's in the MRI machine. And so they get a pretty heavy reading that is it's similar to an epileptic seizure, but doesn't he mention something else? Like it's just a massive, massive amount of energy.
Yeah, they say your brain emits some sort of energy, kind of like an epileptic seizure. Yeah.
Yeah. And we could put you on the. Oh, that's right. Because I think they're at this point, they're even more trying to save the daughter. And so he's like, we couldn't. The type of medication that would stop this from happening, we can't give to a fetus. It's too.
Yeah, well, the medication didn't really work for him anyway, so.
Did he take it?
I think he tried it and it just didn't work.
Okay, I missed that where he actually took it. But this movie is, it's really cool how it, you know, you're definitely, you know, they definitely want you to get to know the time traveler and how he phases in and out and how he's dealing with it. And then they do a really smooth transition over the time traveler's wife where you, you know,
from her point of view.
Yeah, from her perspective, and you become sympathetic to her, her plight. And when she goes out to see him on the night where she ends up getting pregnant, there, I thought she was cheating on him. I thought for sure there was going to be another guy.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting that she was cheating with himself, which it took his current self a little while to wrap his head around. Like there was a moment where he was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I slept with you.
Yeah. She's like, you know, the night in the car, and he has to like sit there and think and go, oh yeah, because that happened when he was younger. And so he has that memory. But to him, that was just a night that they, you know, slept together. So I don't know. I was just thinking about like, my brain goes like into the science of it, right? This isn't a scientific movie. So this is a time travel movie where it's magic, you could say, even though they call it a genetic anomaly, you know, obviously that's not a thing. So I think of it more of a as a magical time travel story. It is all one timeline, and the timeline cannot be changed in any way. And, you know, the phasing in and out, I don't know. I kind of thought about it as in like, if the timeline was a circle, but then squished together, flattened, you know, are you phasing in and out of that squished together circle? Does that make sense? Probably not.
It does. I thought of, and I think we're thinking the same things, but I went back to the quantum leap idea.
Oh, of being squunched together?
Yeah. Your timeline is this string.
Is that a word?
Scrunched?
I said squunched. I don't think that's a word. It is now.
We can squunch in and out of reality.
Yeah. So actually, that's a good point. More of like a string crumpled up into a ball.
Yeah. And you just kind of... Because, yeah, it's very cool. So for his wedding, right before his wedding, he phases out. And then he doesn't necessarily phase back in. An older version of himself phases into this moment.
Yeah.
And everyone's wondering why this freshly trimmed, young-faced man is now a little bit older.
Has gray hair.
And then that guy phases out again, and then the original him that was there phases back in.
Yeah.
I mean, is there an alpha? Henry, I know I haven't gone to the alpha situation in a while.
No, because there's no duplicates. Oh, that's another law. You can interact with yourself and it's fine.
Well, not so much duplicates, but like at any, I mean, because if his older self comes back to go through with the wedding, well, no, because most of the time when he phases out, he just runs until he comes back. I was just thinking for a while, he's just completely untethered and he just...
So I think I understand what you're trying to ask. So at any given moment throughout his timeline, he can be traveling more than once. So a 20-year-old him can be traveling to, you know, 20 years in the future. And the same time, a 30-year-old him could be traveling to 10 years in the past.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of goes into the concept of all time is happening all at once, which mm-hmm. we both know who loves that little theory. He's clapping in the next room.
It's all happening at once.
So, yeah, I mean, it really does. If all time is happening all at the same time, you could be traveling, your 20-year-old, your 30-year-old, and your 40-year-old self could be traveling all at the same time. So, yeah, I don't think there is an alpha.
Everyone's shifting. Yeah, I tried to talk myself in to my usual argument that there is a first time, and I couldn't. For this one, like this one, I had to admit that all of this is all happening at the same time, because I was trying to imagine a version where he phases out of the wedding and they don't get married because he doesn't come back.
Yeah.
But his older self always came back to save that moment. And there isn't a version.
Yeah.
Like this is, there is one time. Yeah, this one, it definitely, Scotty would be proud of me. I'm living in his world for this movie.
Yeah, you agree with that theory, that concept for this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a really interesting concept of, you know, that all time throughout the entire universe is all happening at the exact same time. You know, it could be. You never know. And if time travel were ever a possibility, that theory right there would have to be true or close to true, you know, like.
Yeah, unless we're living in the world where everyone's memory gets immediately overridden every time someone goes back and changes something.
Right. Like, and has like a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it would have to be all time is happening all at the same time. But also every possible choice and different, outcome.
Yeah.
That you have ever, every choice and every possible outcome is also happening all at the same time, which just blows, you know, melts your brain.
Then you get into multiverse and then you're never actually time traveling. You're
just jumping universes.
Yeah. Even if you are going back in time, you're going back to the other universe where Hitler has always been killed.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's some interesting stuff. I liked this movie. I'm a little bit of a sucker for a romance, a good romance movie, and this had time travel in it, so it was like, yay.
This is the only movie I think we've reviewed that I would refer to as a film.
Oh. A time travel film, if you will.
This is a time travel. Yeah, this movie untethered my brain.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, I'm trying to find something to latch on, like, just something to talk about and something to expand on. But I feel like his wife right now, where I'm never quite sure which version is here and what to latch on to. And she is... because she never had a choice. I was going to say she's a wonderful, beautiful, big-hearted woman, but...
Yeah. They have this scene at the end where he knows that he's about to phase and get shot and die, and he tells her, and of course, you know, she loves him, and she says, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change a single moment of my life, you know, because... That, you know what they say, it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all.
I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Because if you love and you lose, that means you've experienced gravity and someday you may time travel.
Yes.
And Alba is, I hope they make a crappy Butterfly Effect 2 style sequel to this movie. I want to see Alba's future in this and her just controlling and bouncing around, because she's going to try to change some stuff. Like, she has too much power to not.
Yeah, that's a good question, because with Henry, he couldn't control it. So whatever, you know, let's say there was an outside force that was, you know, implementing this, they always put him, or it always put him, at a very specific moment. So maybe he couldn't go back to the right moment to save his mother. But let's say Alba could. Let's say she could control it and go back to a very specific time. Then could she have changed the past?
Yeah. And if she saves Mom, then that sets the universe off into a crazy path.
Yeah. Could it be because he couldn't control it is why he couldn't change anything?
The only way for her to save her father is to kill her grandfather.
Wait, what?
That's who kills her dad, is her grandpa.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant Henry's dad. Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. That's true.
That's a lot of burden to put on a little girl. Save dad, kill grandpa. Who's with grandpa? Is that like a brother?
Yeah, no, it's just another guy.
Because she says, is that Henry?
No.
No. Okay. Do we ever see Henry? Because that's who she thinks is in the bushes the first time. She's like, Henry, is that you?
The first time when?
The first time he phases to see the six-year-old Claire.
Oh, no, she was saying her brother, whatever her brother's name was.
Okay. Mark. So that's Henry or Mark. Oh, maybe you're right, Mark. But that wasn't with who was with dad when they were hunting later?
Maybe it was an adult version of him, but it was just another guy that you don't recognize.
Just some dude.
Yeah.
And at one point, yeah, he gets to go back and see his mother. He runs into his mom on a subway.
Right.
And that's a beautiful little moment. And his dad knows this is going on, and his dad is just, you know, his dad does pretty well, but obviously he's heartbroken from losing his mom. And then,
yeah,
I mean, who knows what it's like raising that kid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough being married to him. Try keeping track of him at a state fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that I remember when I first watched this movie, I think I liked it more the second time, but I remember the first time thinking, like, for Alba, for a woman to travel and then appear somewhere butt naked is a lot more inconvenient than a man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
speaking of fighting your way out of everything.
Yeah. I think it's kind of good or better that she could control it, because as a woman, you don't know where you're going to end up and you are butt naked.
Yeah.
That's stressful.
And it's a sweet moment when he teaches her how to pick locks, because he knows she's going to wind up in a strange place at some point and need to break into something and get some clothes.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful moment. Yeah, we've done a, you know, 40 of these podcasts, and this is my favorite note I've ever written.
I see an infinity symbol and 10 out. I can't read that. 10
mostly
alpha.
Just the infinity symbol.
Oh, okay.
That was all I was showing you. Just when I realized that, when it, like I said, when it flipped over to being the story about the wife.
Yeah.
You know, when and they kind of mirror some, even though she's not traveling through time, they're kind of mirroring some of his frustrations now onto her.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Time Pop, brought to you by Sounds Awesome. Please like and subscribe and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can share a discussion of your own on the topic of this movie. Please check us out on social media. We are at What Sounds Awesome on Facebook and Instagram, and at Sounds Awesome 2 on Twitter. You can email us directly with questions and comments at wesoundawesome@gmail.com. We would love to read your thoughts aloud on air, and definitely let us know about a movie you would like featured on a future episode. We have 3 great movie podcasts: Rotten Popcorn, where Scott and Dez discuss films with vast differences between fans and critics based on Rotten Tomatoes aggregation, and Apocalypse Now, where Scott, Callum, and Dez talk about apocalypse-ish movies about society going through a difficult situation, not unlike the one we are currently living through. Want to check out some non-movie related podcasts? Check out All the Answers. You have questions? The Record Keepers have answers. Cassidy and Katie have sassy comments. Who are the Record Keepers? You'll have to listen to find out. And our newest addition to the Sounds Awesome family, Truth Not Trends. Liam Bauer and Jesse Schmidt have a combined 35 years of strength training, and they are here to keep you strong, fit, and motivated through these difficult times. Please visit our website at whatsoundsawesome.com to find all these fine podcasts, or just search Sounds Awesome in your podcaster of choice to find these fine shows. Please rate and review. And now, back to the exciting conclusion of this episode. We've come to the moment, Ari.
What moment?
The moment where you take the red pill or the blue pill.
No way. I would not want to have this genetic anomaly.
Is that just the female issue? Do you just not want to show up somewhere naked, or do you have other...
I mean, that's a huge part of it, but, you know, you have no control.
Yeah.
This is not something that I would ask for or want to try. Now, if I was like Alba, that would be different.
I want this power more than a DeLorean.
What?
I do.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, whoa. This is a very big moment in history and time and space right now. You would rather have the ability to randomly phase in and out of time and appear somewhere naked than have a DeLorean?
Yeah. I came to this now. I did not preload this comment. But as we're sitting here talking about it and I'm thinking about it, it would be too much of a burden to go where I wanted, when I wanted. I would love to time travel, but to have the randomness of just like every day is an adventure and know that you couldn't change anything and screw anything up. Because you don't see, and that's another thing that, you know, this is called the time traveler's wife. We don't see how many times he just goes to a ball game or something.
Through traveling or through normal life?
Through traveling.
Yeah. Well, it's always major events. Remember, it's always, it's like gravity. It's like a major event.
And there's at one point he does, you know, he doesn't have control of it, but he slowly starts to feel it coming on. Like at one point he's like, oh my God, oh my God. And he runs into a bathroom so that he doesn't phase in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah, he can feel it coming on.
So this movie is definitely very convenient about when it phases, which is either, you know, script writing or, you know, if this is all just the universe pushing and pulling you, then it wants to keep your secret safe too.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, here's the question. If you could have the DeLorean, but know that you cannot change the past, would you do that instead of having this weird anomaly?
I like the choices being taken out of my hands.
Yeah.
I would kind of enjoy the, because if you had a DeLorean, your wife would be like, don't. But again, with the DeLorean, you can come back to the moment you left. So I could go to the past for 10 years and then still return a second after I left.
That's interesting. That's another thing about this movie, was he would phase away for 2 weeks and be gone for 2 weeks. He doesn't come back to the moment that he left.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing about this quote unquote power.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that would be another kind of cool thing if he always, well, and maybe he is always in every time at once. He just can't control where. So like I'm talking about the triple swap and this guy goes here and this guy goes here and this guy goes here. Like,
yeah,
probably for those 2 weeks, he's somewhere in that time, but he could be anywhere going through any problem or any age. You know, maybe he's six and all of a sudden he's in the 40-year-old timeline of him. So he doesn't even know about this woman that would be happy to take care of him for these 2 weeks and yeah, keep him safe. You know, he's just, you know, stealing apples and hiding in the tree. I think that's a good point. I'm going to call it right now. There is in his timeline in, well, no, damn it. Because I just ruined it because I was going to say in his lifetime, there's always a version of him there. But since we know he jumps out of his timeline at least once, that leaves a gap somewhere in his.
Yeah, I don't know if that theory holds up, that he's always there. Yeah,
it's going to be in my movie. In my movie, triple swap, trademarked, there's always going to be a version of him in every moment of his living timeline.
Interesting.
Oh, I'm going to get writing. I got it.
I'm ready. Let's write that movie.
Did we do it?
We did it.
We did it! Yay! All right, my dream for you is to someday be a time traveler's wife.
That would be stressful. I would get so lonely. I'm a very needy person. I could never marry a time traveler like that who just disappears randomly. I could never do that.
Yeah, and not know how long he's going to be gone.
Yeah, that's lonely. And like major events, you know, like weddings and Christmases and New Year's, like you never know when it's going to happen. It'd be super lonely.
Mid-coitus?
Oh my God. Like, yeah.
You're getting there. You're about ready to peak, get to the top of that mountain, and boom, he's gone.
Yeah. And then he shows up in, you know, in the middle of downtown Chicago with a rager.
And then 6-year-old him shows up to comfort you. Gross.
What?
Thank you for listening to Time Bop. Until next time, I am Desmond McNeese.
And I am Ariel Galar.